This portion of the show is brought to you by Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Angela's here with me this hour. I think this is going to tie in very well with my second hour interview with Zach Hauser, who's a farmer in Camp Verde, Verde Valley area, because he's got some serious concerns about the future of farming. And we're going to get into some of the things that come about the equipment, the trucks. Farming still runs on diesel.
Right, all the diesel equipment.
Yes. And there's great concerns right now that the powers that be, the Biden administration and so many others, are going to seriously hurt the farming industry, which is kind of important because that's where we get our food from. Yeah, it's just like they don't think anything through because they don't have any experience to think things through.
Right.
They just don't.
Yeah.
They don't realize that when they change diesel engines, it has a really bad impact on farming, on shipping, on construction. And I'm going to get into shipping here and what's going on with truckers and concerns that truckers are having right now about shipping the food. Because, you know, food comes from hundreds, probably thousands of miles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Our food.
Yeah, I mean, some of it.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, the local farm, there's not a lot of local farms. That's why I was so interested to get Zach Hauser from Hauser & Hauser Farms on, because
yeah, especially around here. I mean, there's farms, but there's not. It's not the same as the Midwest or somewhere where there's just farm after farm after farm. It's there's less here than, and they're not typically as big as the Midwest farms.
Yeah, and I think they originally came from the Midwest, the Hauser family, and they've got like 700 or 800 acres down in the Camp Verde area. But there's a big concern in Arizona because a lot of the farmland, especially if you drive down, well, I noticed it in Camp Verde. I noticed it in the Verde Valley. I see these really big pecan. You say pecan, you say tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Route 66, Route 66. Yeah. Now you see these pecan orchards, are they, or farms? I'm not sure what they call them.
Yeah.
And it's big down there, but you see them getting subdivided. And I don't want to sound like an anti-growth or anything, or, hey, we can't cut these up. People don't have the right to sell their land or anything. But it does break my heart when I see that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You see it in Phoenix, too. So,
the whole like west area, west, Phoenix, just used to be farm after farm after farm, and it's kind of slowly encroaching. And if you ever drive on the 303 or the 101 on the west side, you can see like there's the one holdout that's got farmland, and it's like next to the football stadium and next to the Target, and you know, eventually those people will probably sell out. But
yeah, that's especially you get out.
It's a shame to see it's disappearing.
You're watching it, so you get out to the 303 around the Cardinals stadium there. And yeah, the holdouts, I guess they'll do very well, and that's fine. You know, somebody, like what happens, I think, a lot of times is the old-time farmer dies, you know, or stops farming, whatever. And and then you got maybe multiple kids in the family that inherit it, and they're like, they're not farmers. They don't want to be farmers.
Right.
And
that
so
property used to be way out.
Yeah.
It used to be way out of town.
Worth nothing. And now it's surrounded by commercial, and it's surrounded by multifamily housing, and there's a housing shortage in Arizona. So the temptation to sell it is so big because the land value is worth so much more than the crops
it produces. Be interested in keeping it as a farm or as acreage anyway.
Yeah. So, but my question is, and we'll get into this more with Zach in hour two of the show, is, you know, who's going to farm? Where's the food going to come from?
Yeah.
Is this going to be like, you know, lab grown stuff like with meat, you know, and cats beyond meat,
beyond corn?
I mean, it is kind of a, and by the way, we haven't opened it yet, but you bought those fudge rounds.
Oh yeah. I should have brought them down.
Oh man. I'm reading a box. You know, maybe we'll do that after the first break. But it said something about something bioengineered or something.
Bioengineered product or something.
Yeah, I'm like, which, or ingredient. Maybe with I'm like, which ingredient? I'd like to know.
Yeah, so
I'm
which
one? I'm a little scared.
Is it the first ingredient on there or the last? Because
can you
there's
mark
a big
that?
Difference in that.
Yeah, exactly. Is it all bioengineered?
I wasn't even looking for them. I just was shopping one day and I saw them at store in Camp Verde, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get these just because it's funny. And I'd never had one.
Well, it came up.
I've never even seen one.
No, I
didn't know what they were.
I never heard of it until that Oliver Anthony song.
Neither. I didn't know
Richmond,
what they were.
Richmond, north of Richmond, which is still up there in the charts. I think it got knocked out over the weekend. because Jimmy Buffett passed away.
Oh, right.
So all the songs like are now Jimmy Buffett. But he was but he was still number one song up there, and he mentioned the fudge rounds, and we were so everybody's been like, what's a fudge round?
I've never heard of it.
But no, okay, but what are we gonna eat, all just bioengineered food or something? I mean, where's the farmland gonna be? Who's gonna grow this? It's just an amazing thought process here, because this country's gone from a country of really, quite frankly, producers to a country of consumers. And this happened a long time ago. Went from 98% probably farming to 2% farming.
Yeah.
So it's like, who are the producers that are going to do this? So that's why I'm looking forward to Zach, because his family's still doing it after, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 generations or something like that. But now you've got the concerns about shipping, about the truckers. And I was reading this article on Fox News on the website. A trucker's sounding alarm, and they're interviewing different truckers. You know, you had the big, was it Yellow Freight, or whichever one went out of business last month. I don't want to misquote that. But there was a big shipping conglomerate that went out of business just like a month ago, and they ship a huge percentage of America's food. So they're just kind of thinking, what's going to happen here? But the big concern is the new Biden EPA regulations. They're rules. These don't even go through Congress. Why do we even have a Congress? I wonder why we even have a Congress. They're so ineffective.
What's the point when they just, all they do is just go in there and sign their executive orders and their, you know, they just direct someone to do this or that, and it doesn't even go through Congress.
Well, they relegate their authority to some other authority, some bureaucrats. So then the bureaucrats come out with quote unquote rules, which is the same as laws. It's a rule. Yeah. It's like rules, though, sounds more like we're all little children in this country. And we have these experts constantly coming up with rules because they're so smart.
Yeah.
As if they know how to ship stuff from point A to point B. As if they know how to work on a diesel engine. As if they know how to pour or design a gas can. You know, you can go on and on. As if they know what's best for lighting for your home. And the big thing right now is these EPA rules that are supposed to go into effect by 2027. And they're going to supposedly, they want to lower the emissions. We're talking in, not just vehicles, you know, they want to do like car vehicles, passenger vehicles. They want to electrify everything because in their brain, they've been pounded in for so long. We've got man-caused climate change. And that's because you drive your Tahoe across town. And now that just because the commercial truckers drive across the country in these big diesel, big rigs. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of weight. If you've towed stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's nothing compared to those big trucks.
I mean, when I tow something with my truck, with my Tahoe, you feel it, and it takes a lot of power. And we're talking about, I've got a 5.3-liter engine or a 5.6-liter engine or whatever. These are
and
huge.
And maybe we're towing a 6,000-pound.
Six to 9,000 pounds. These guys are towing cargo all around the country and food and supplies that we need. So what they want to do is they want to lower the emission standards. They're really pushing to electrify everything. And I can't imagine how this is going to work with the big rigs, with semis that got to haul a massive amount of weight. What's going to happen to the produce in there? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it even going to make it across country
before it starts rotting?
Yeah. I mean, they haven't thought any of this through. So here's a guy who's in this Fox News article. The charge of an electric truck is about 10 hours and the distance could be about 150 to 300 miles, this guy claims. To give you an idea right now, one of our diesel trucks, when it fills out 300 gallons, imagine what that costs.
I know.
Whew, it has a capacity to go 1,600 to 1,800 miles. Okay, so trucker pulls up. He fills up, or she, 300 gallons, pays that big, what is that, $2,000 probably. Just for that fill-up.
What is diesel now? Four or five?
4 or 5 bucks a gallon. So anyway, they're getting 1,600 to 1,800 miles. Okay, that's fine. So maybe they still didn't make their destination. Maybe they're bringing apples from, where do they grow apples?
In the north. Washington.
Washington. They're bringing them back. They're bringing them down to Florida, maybe. Right? Yeah. So they're going 3,000 plus miles. They got to fill up again. Well, okay, you fill up. Another 2,000 bucks. Mm-hmm. You fill up and you you go inside, you get some food, maybe you rest a little bit, and then you're off, right? So he's saying, so these 300 miles, let's say you and I jump in a truck tomorrow, we have to go to Los Angeles from Chicago. We're barely out of the state of Illinois, let alone able to get food to the West Coast or come back, he added. It's just going to take the transit time and increase it. With new technology, the distance should be as much as we have now, if not in even further. But it's not. We're getting new technology, and you're going to go a couple hundred miles. And then, well, you got to stop for 10 hours to charge?
I know, that's
5 hours to charge?
Yeah.
How's it? The only other way I see this working is it's going to, we are going backwards in time. Remember back in the, was this mid 1700s? Maybe it was early. When was it? Look this up. When was the Pony Express? Remember the Pony Express? Mm-hmm. So you get on a horse, you ride like hell, because how far can, there's some cowboys out there listening, how far can a good horse go?
1860.
Okay, 1860s, okay, I was a little off of my
1860 date. To 1861.
Okay, they were getting like mail across the country, right?
Yeah.
So they would have people stationed, look at Pony Express, when how far could they go? 10 miles?
Yeah, nope. There was something a like that. Thing from Missouri to California.
Yeah, but they must have to stop every 10, 15 miles. I don't know.
So their horse can rest? Or
yeah, or no, they get out. They got another horse waiting.
Right, and they pass it off. Yeah.
So you like jump on, and you keep going. So that's what's going to be like. It's just going to be like relay points.
It took 10 days.
10 days.
Between the East and West Coast.
Okay, and that was rapidly changing horses and riders over time. So yeah, is it going to be like that? It's just going to be like, hey, you got to get out of your big rig and... You're going to we got another one ready for you. It's not like I love my electric equipment, like my drill and all that, because when it goes dead, I have another battery right there and it's a second one. Yeah. And I just pop it in by hand. It's small. These are small things. It's very efficient for me to do that rather than plugging in
dragging a cord over.
A drill and a cord and, you know, sawing the cord off when you're, I haven't used the circular saw. Corded one. I have a few of them out there. I should keep them because we might need them, right?
Yeah.
I haven't used that in years. But anyway, so I don't see how this is going to work out. I think Zach will hit on that as well with the equipment. I mean, it's amazing the equipment you need just even on 700, which is a big farm, but 700 acres compared to farms in the Midwest is probably quite small.
Yeah.
You know, but huge equipment, huge diesel equipment. I'd start your backyard garden now.
Yeah, start figuring it out now.
I would do that. In fact, when we come back, I want to hit on a few tips that Angela and I have on some things that, I'm buying and I'm trying to stock up on, and things that we've been doing and in the process of doing for years because of the concerns. We kind of saw this all coming to a degree, although how rapid it's all happening even surprises me. How quickly this is all changing. All right, love to hear from you. Here's the email. Get those in. I think we got an email from Greg when we get back as well. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Plus, subscribe to the podcast. Hit that subscribe button if you're listening. Give us a comment right in the podcast as well, no matter where you're listening, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and also on Rumble. Follow us there for video, and YouTube, follow the video there as well. You know what? Waiting for a recession to become official, it's not a very good strategy, but then it's a little hard to maneuver. Glenn Least and his team at WT Wealth Management, they know that predictions about what markets might do are often wrong. That's why it's better to prepare than to predict. Glenn wants to help you strategically position your portfolio, and I want you to give him a call and see if he's the right fit. I don't tell you how to invest. I don't tell you what to do with your money. Of course, you need to seek out financial counselor or financial advisor or somebody better at this than me. But I do like when I hear from people like Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management that brings me a really big, varied amount of information. It's not just stocks or bonds. We've had him on the show to talk gold and silver and real estate and so much more. In fact, I do some work with Glenn and have some stuff invested with some portfolios with him right now. Call Glenn, see if he's a good fit though. Get a complimentary consultation of your portfolio at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. And I think we'll have Glenn on next week to give us another great market update. Hang tight. Don't forget to head on out to beautiful Williams to Ms. Kitty's Steakhouse. Great steak, great food, Great breakfast as well from 7 a.m.
Yeah, we need to get out there. We haven't been out there in a while.
We got to go out there. Got to go visit former mayor of Williams, John Moore. Get some great food. I don't know, maybe go out for breakfast, and then we'll go check out some of the great things on Route 66 right there.
Yeah, it's always fun to wander around there.
Yeah, kids like always like doing that zip line and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, go to Miss Kitty's Steakhouse right there on Route 66. Enjoy some great food and stop on by Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Make a day trip, even a half day trip out of that. You got the fudge rounds?
I got them.
Hold it up. Yeah, you can see that. Was that Little Debbie?
Yeah, Little Debbie.
I'm sorry. That's from like the 50s, right? That picture looks like 50s.
Yeah.
Little Debbie's been eating those fudge rounds. She's not that little anymore.
Yeah, it says it contains a bioengineered food ingredient, but it doesn't say which one.
Oh, man. Well, do you want to commit to taking a bite of one of these before the hour's up?
I'll eat it. Well, we have 12 of them, so.
I know, but I'm a little scared about this bioengineered thing. You know, what is the and when Little Debbie first came out with this back in whenever.
Didn't have bioengineered stuff back then. I think they've changed the recipe.
They must have changed the recipe. I want to know, Little Debbie, what's bioengineered in there. I want you to specifically point this out. I don't think we'll die if we eat one.
Nah, I think we'll live. Well,
I'm going to need some milk, though, so you'll have to. Scuttle milk. Back on over there, yeah. All right, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I like milk less and less. It's kind of weird.
I know, all of a sudden like he's all thing? Like, oh, that doesn't
it
smell
right.
It
has to be like, and maybe.
It's lumpy.
Well, it was. I put it in my coffee the other day and lumps come out. And I'm
it wasn't
like,
even
I
that
told
old.
You it was going bad.
That it thing wasn't is, that
well,
old.
Well, it's because the truck that it was taking delivered on long. Was probably electric. And that's, so Biden's America, lumpy milk. Yeah. Welcome to America 2023. Definitely by 2027, you get lumpy milk. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Yeah, what I am doing, what I have been doing, because I suspect the things we use are going to get worse and worse as far as the quality. If I can find an old gas can, I buy an old gas can. I'm going to have to start going to more like secondhand shops, mm-hmm. you know, places like that.
Like estate sales.
Estate sales. And just if you've got these, you put this stuff, if you're preparing your like your will or something, right? And you're like, you got a lot of equipment like I do and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, if I was to kick the bucket, if I ate too many of those fudge rounds all of a sudden, I'd be concerned that Angela's like, oh, let me sell these tools. And it's like 5 cents each or something. It's like, no, these older things have more and more value.
Right.
The old gas cans, if they're still, you know, if they're not cracked up or whatever. I have a couple of older chainsaws. I'm worried that the gas chainsaw could be phased out at some point. So I'm getting ready. I didn't tell you about this.
No.
I'm going to buy at least one more, mm-hmm. maybe two more, and just put them in there. Just keep mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's, for me, it's a wise decision just to kind of stock up on some of these things and maybe find some of the older things, the older tools and stuff like that, that you can maybe find at the garage sales and, like you said, yeah. estate sales. Yeah. So I guess I'm warning you that I'm going to need a little extra cash. Maybe we should start a GoFundMe page. You know,
I've heard those work.
Yeah, I've seen those work. That's a little side
I'm
story.
Kidding.
Okay. Just so we can buy older. I'm back on the truck kick, always looking for an older 70s mm-hmm. model or whatever. We have a 2003 Chevy Tahoe I'm thinking about, because that's still... There's a lot of chips in that. There's a lot of microchips mm-hmm. in that and computers and stuff, but it's still nothing compared to nowadays. So I'm like, do I park one of those as yard art, like a second or a third one? And I'm going to scavenge parts off of this. Cause I don't know where these people are going. These people have me very nervous.
Right.
So I want to be prepared. But yeah, that's kind of my plan is I'm just going to stock up on some of this stuff mm-hmm. and just have it. And we've been in the process of doing the backyard garden for years.
Yeah, we've kind of added a little more adding. Here and there and, yep. and tried different things and seen what works and what
varying,
doesn't.
Varying levels.
You learn what doesn't work, too.
You learn that if you had to plant that so-called survival seed kit that you've heard about in the past, that you would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that sarcastically. You would not survive.
Because you also need good soil. You need good fertilizer. You need to like test it for pH. And
when do you plant it? Yeah. How do you plant it? Spacing.
You need water. And we're not there all the time. So you need timers.
Okay, yeah. What's your water? I mean, Verde Valley, you got, and we'll get into that with Zach Hauser next hour, a lot of water. Mm-hmm. Although There are some companies that claim they own all the water down there because they showed up in the early 1900s, which I find a little baffling. So, you know, if you have a well in the Verde Valley, you're going to want to continue to listen next hour. But let's say people in Flagstaff and other areas, they don't have water.
No, yeah.
I mean, for farming, you can collect rainwater and stuff like that, but that's can be unpredictable. My dad and my stepmom grow stuff in Doney Park. That gets quite expensive when you're pumping
up water. They comment quite frequently that the water bill is so out of control.
Having water availability is huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the zombie apocalypse is happening tomorrow, but I'm saying that it could. I'm saying that what these people are doing, and when you hear these concerns that the truckers have and the people that are shipping stuff around and how reliable we are, reliant we are on all this stuff from great distances. And at the same time, you're watching, we can't drill for oil in this country. Biden's put a stop to that. You can't, we're going to rely on Saudi Arabia, who's cut production now. And that's the same thing I would do if I were them.
It's and they smart just cancel more of the contracts in Alaska.
Canceling contracts, leasing contracts and this and that. So you got a government actively trying to make your life miserable. So they're trying to destroy the standard of living we have, and they're doing a dang good job at it. And at the same time, they're saying, oh, we're going to bring in all this other great technology that doesn't exist yet. Or if it does, it's in its infancy. And it's not ready for mass market production at this point. But, oh, we're going to do it by 27. We're going to do it by 30, 35. It's just, it's going to be great. Trust me.
The time starts ticking, and then they prolong it, and they extend the time frame. And
you know all this, folks. Yeah. I've been preaching this for years. If you ain't stocking up on certain things with concern, I don't know what convinces you as you, because it's the boiling frog thing. It's happening. It's been happening slowly, but now it seems to be accelerating to me. So I'm just going to keep buying the old stuff.
Yeah.
And they can come take it, I guess. They can try to. Take my old gas chainsaw. Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
Love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Go ahead and get those comments in now. Please subscribe to the podcast. Click that subscribe button. Give us a comment on there as well. We love sharing that. I got one, like I said, from Greg coming up here in just a second. All right, another thing that we've done for years is stock up on securely stored, I might add, and guarded with various armaments. And nowadays, video is a big thing. Security is. I had got a message that somebody in our neighborhood, there was a sledgehammer incident where someone was going around smashing some windows. I haven't verified that yet, but I got it from a trusted source right nearby where we're at. And pretty good area. I mean, you know, it's, you don't know nowadays what's going to happen. But anyway, I always like to own a little bit of physical gold and silver. I've been dealing with Desert Gold Exchange for many, many years. Justin and his family-run company, they do a great job of explaining to me the different options, of delivering the stuff, of answering all my questions. It's an Arizona-based company called Desert Gold Exchange. They're going to be able to help you out. And mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, too. They'll take really extra special care of you. Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. And don't forget Diamond Auto Glass. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, keeping those old windshields going. Yeah, I mean, the windshields we had on... Stuart from Diamond Auto Glass, Stuart Weatherman recently, who's talking about the expense of glass now.
Yeah.
Because it's got tech in it. All the tech is in it.
The newer vehicles, they all
not
have.
Not mine.
The,
but,
yeah. The but thermometers yours and probably. The compass.
And the cameras.
And all the,
and
the
needs to be aligned correctly.
And all the stuff, yeah.
So Diamond Auto Glass, they know what they're doing. They'll be able to get you a new windshield installed correctly at a great price. Also, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, they're going to be able to fill that chip and keep your windshield going for a lot longer. Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to the difference. isclear.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
This is The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Comments, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love hearing from you. Greg wrote this. If you consider the Biden administration's massive pullout from the oil industry, combine that with this administration allowing other world powers to pull away from the petrodollar, as well as the insane levels of spending, what is the conclusion we should be drawing from these moves? I personally believe they are attempting to collapse the value of the U.S. dollar so they can push us into the digital dollar. As you know, this is a programmable and will allow them to control and monitor our spending. By that, they can disallow purchases for things like guns, meats, etc., gasoline, and anything else they want. Seems like a move towards total control of the population. That's Greg. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Yeah, probably.
Oh, I have no doubt. Yeah. I mean, to what extent, who knows yet, but they like the control. I mean, they and people, we all saw it during COVID that they just... Let them do it. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it, and I'll, you know,
look. And
I'll clap like a seal. I jump
on one foot. Yes, yeah. How high, sir? You know, yeah. I mean, that's what people are.
And they've been already trying to do it with the sugary drinks and the, you know,
don't you touch my fudge rounds?
Yeah, I mean, they've already instituted all the the protocols on.
They tried to do it with beer recently.
Yeah, the beer.
The guy.
I mean, it's just one thing after another, and they're going to do it slowly, and then people will get used to it or put up with it, and then they'll do another thing and another thing, and that's how things like that happen.
And sometimes they go too fast, and they do something, and they go three steps forward, and then they have to. There is a public outrage, but then they take like maybe two steps back, but they still went one step forward.
Yeah.
They're very good at that.
Yeah.
And adjusting like that. Yeah. But Greg's talking about the central bank digital currency, CBDC, which is coming. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced as well, Greg, that this is coming.
Well, they definitely want to get rid of cash.
Yes.
Just because of all the.
But not only cash, they don't want the commercial banks as the intermediary. Meaning the Federal Reserve and meaning the government, because there's supposed to be a separation between the Federal Reserve and the politicians and the government. There's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Where was she before that? She was the head of the Federal Reserve. There's no separation.
Right.
And both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, use the Federal Reserve for political gain, because you watch as we get closer to the election, Biden will be pressuring the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I think we have talked about or will talk about on tomorrow's program with Kelly Broadus. They'll lower the interest rates, even if there's big inflation going on, massive inflation going on.
They'll do it just for the political gain.
For the political gain.
Yeah.
And what will probably happen is it'll cause more inflation. It'll cause the economy to heat up even more. Mm-hmm. Housing prices will probably go up as a result, because people can get lower interest rate loans, and housing then all of a sudden starts shooting up, because nobody really cares. I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of people don't care what the cost of the house is. They more or less care what the interest rate is, the monthly payment. They're paying for that monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you lower the interest rates. What do they care if it's another $100,000, if the payment's actually less?
Right.
But all in all, it causes massive inflation.
What matters most is how much money out of their pocket every month.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the big picture necessarily.
So no, I agree with Greg here, because they can control a central bank digital currency. They can't control Bitcoin, because they're going to roll this out like it's a Bitcoin, like it's better for you because it's privacy. It's this thing. You know, it's not going to be that. They can't control even cash. They have a hard time controlling that. They can't control gold and silver, things like that, but they can control this. They could do things like do interest rate adjustments on it, like instantly, like to try to shape public behavior. Like, you bought too many fudge rounds, Angela. You met your quota, so we're gonna zap you with negative rates here and basically steal your money.
Right.
We want you to buy electric cars. So if you bought an electric car, you're getting a 9% interest rate. But I see you bought a gas car, you're getting 1% interest rate.
You're spending too much on gas.
Exactly.
You're buying too much gas or whatever.
Too much steak.
Yeah.
They could then, it'll all be automated. Artificial intelligence, I'm sure, tracking and controlling everything and what they want to push society. Here's what I get concerned about with this. People will accept it. They probably wouldn't accept it right now if you just flick the switch. But when, Because this always happens. When there's a financial calamity of some sort, don't know when, don't know to what degree, you never know that, but this, they can only hold off the floodwaters for so long before something's triggered. That's when they will come in with the central bank digital currency, because they'll say, we have to do this because fill in the blank.
Right.
China did an attack on our financial system, and they went after the private lending institution and zapped all their money. We're at war.
The evil economy's having problems, and we need to spend money. Yes. And here's your
We're gonna replace your, I don't know, traditional greenback dollars, your bank accounts and everything. You have, you know, 60 days to get this into effect and convert your money to the central CBDC, whatever they call it, the American digital coin or whatever, whatever the heck they come up with. Right? They'll come up with something. These guys are great at thinking up crap out of the thin air, right? And they'll say, we have to do this because they'll just fill in the blank. And if there's some kind of black swan event or whatever, that'll be the trigger point. And most Americans, I fear, will say, I understand, you know, because I'm having so much trouble and my landlord just tried to evict me because they're evil, or I borrowed money from this local bank to buy a car, and now they're trying to repossess the car because I haven't made the payment. So there, it'll be this push to blame probably the private corporations, the system. But the reason why it'll happen is the very system they created on the federal side. So that's how they're going
to
bring it
through. Like the millennials and Gen Zers, they're already used to swiping the card for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, 50 cents, a dollar, $2. They don't carry cash around.
No.
They don't even have, they don't have checks.
No.
They don't have any kind of balance book type thing of the old school way of,
like they don't bounce a checkbook or anything?
No. Yeah. They just check it online. And I mean, I guess as long as they have the money in there when their electric comes out and all that.
People don't do that anymore. Well, I don't do that, but you do that. You do all that.
Well, I do, because I like, that's, well, I'm just, my brain is wired that way, that I like to see it line by line and know what's coming up, because I plan ahead a lot.
Mm.
So I know what dates, you know, things are getting withdrawn and that sort of thing. But a lot of the millennials and Gen Zers, they don't do that now. I mean, they're just used to that card. And so they're tracked already for what they spend.
Well, we all are, because I mean, I carry around a certain amount of cash. But I'm probably, that's an oddity. Like it's unusual for me to charge something under $20 or, you get a coffee or this or that, which I don't do too often, but I also use the card a lot. But the difference is, well, there's the training that's happened, or not the training, the conditioning that's happened for most Americans, that you just swipe the card. So the transition to something else, you'll still be swiping a card or using your
phone. Like it's the same thing.
Yeah, or using your phone or the chip they implant under your wrist or something. But the difference is, those are commercial private transactions. As private as they are, I mean, I don't trust these banks. They'll share information in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, look what happened with Liberty Safes, by the way. Did you hear about that one?
What?
Was it one of the January 6th people? Might have been a guy that just got 22 years or whatever, and he wasn't even there, you know? I mean, yeah, this is a great sign for our country. I don't know if it was that case, but they went in, you know, with a warrant, apparently, but they didn't have a warrant for the safe. To somebody's house, right? And they there's a Liberty Safe in there. They called Liberty Safe, and they gave them the combo.
They did.
They said, well, we got a warrant, but do you have a warrant for that safe? I don't
for
know
the contents.
The, yeah, I don't know safe. If the legalities of all that is, but they're catching Bud Light flack right now.
Yeah,
because I didn't even think about that you buy a new and
like they actually have the combo or the
they must
ability to open it.
Well, they gave them the combo, so most of these safes
you can't change it though. I mean, most of the time you can customize it.
You know what? I got an email from Rob Wilson on this, and he sells Liberty Safes there at Timberline, right? So he's like, oh my God, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I'll try to get him on next week to talk about this. But I would imagine if it's got a digital combo on it, there's maybe a master code, and they got the serial number of the safe or whatever, and it's just like, and it's stored. But I think for me going forward, if I were to buy a safe or anything like that, I would want to make sure that, is there a feature in here that I override any combo you got and it's my combo? Because anybody can get into a safe. Give them a little bit of time. They're going to break it, crack it, or literally crack it, get it open. Mm-hmm. That can happen. But make it hard on them. You know what I mean? I don't want them.
I'm curious, though, that, I mean, if it is inside your house and the cops or FBI or whoever has a warrant to go search the premises, yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean like, oh, that's in a drawer and you can't open that drawer, or that's in a safe, you can't open that safe.
Well, it depends. Some warrants will specify. Is it a broad, can they search every single thing? I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know, but I think there's different scopes of what they're going in
what
and after.
What they can search for.
So, I don't know the whole story yet. Maybe it was a warrant and their legal people looked at it and said, yeah, this does
they're allowed to.
Constitute yeah. that. But it, maybe have a company to say, we don't save them. We don't know. Does Apple, maybe they do, but you know your password, you got 10 tries on the iPhone. Does Apple know, can they call Apple and say, we know that password? Or do I have, I assume everything is crackable and that they can get into anything. So if you're not burning after reading, then there's really no protections anymore. The Constitution's dead. They've killed it.
Yeah.
They've absolutely killed it. All right. Went a little stray there, but yeah, just a piece of paper.
Yeah, they really
and they want to collect your Greg's right on. They want to collect your piece of paper, your actual physical currency, which has massive problems, obviously, as well. But it'll get so much worse if they can just literally control it 100%. The politicians directly control it without any. Even right now, there's a false wall that exists, but at least there's something. Mm-hmm. They get control of it. We are really doomed. Love to hear from you. And they will. buy a chainsaw. buy an old guy's can. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love hearing from you. Get those comments in. And like I always say, subscribe to the podcast and give us a comment there as well. It helps grow the show, and we really do appreciate that. All right, speaking of phones, Just Wireless, great deals on refurbished phones. Save yourself some money. You might need it. You can convert it to the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. Great line of refurbished phones at Just Wireless, right there on Milton Avenue as I-17 comes into Flagstaff. No matter where you're coming from in northern central Arizona, they can help you out, save you a bunch of money. If you've got a cracked screen, if you need a new, what's it called?
Battery.
Charging port fix. Just Wireless can help you out. Stop on by right now and get that old phone taken care of, or get a great line of new to you refurbished phones. By the way, ZeroResNorthernArizona.com has a great special going on right today and through the rest of the month on house cleaning. You want to get your house cleaned professionally. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. The ZR Maids House Cleaning. They're friendly, reliable. They're thorough. In a limited time, you get 15% off ZR Maids with promo code RELAX, all capital, RELAX15. RELAX15. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Enter in promo code RELAX15. Get 15% off on ZR Maids House Cleaning. Plus, don't forget all their other great service for your carpet, your tile, and much more. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe, look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, I want you to remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. This is where Angela and I take our vehicles to get the windshield repaired, and if needed, and we've needed to do this a couple of times, get the windshield replaced. Once you get a windshield replaced at Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff, you got lifetime chip repair. No appointment necessary. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Always remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first. At 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Can't even open the box.
You're going to ruin your dinner. It's all smashed.
Oh, look at this. He's probably shipped in an electric car. I'm gonna eat this fudge round here, just because. If you want to get food, what's that ingredient?
Bioengineered food.
If you don't want a bioengineered food ingredient, head on up to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. It's sliders today, I think. You hear that? Mm-hmm. I'm opening it. Not the slider. I wish I had a slider. This looks like a slider.
Like a hamburger.
It's like a slider that went to hell. You're not eating one?
I'm gonna have some of that.
Oh, it's like chewy.
Yeah, give me some.
Okay, but Sportsman's Bar and Grill is really good food and really good desserts too. I may ruin my appetite here. Up there by the hospital in the Bashes Shopping Center. Don't forget about their great $4 menu as well, where you can get all kinds of good food and drink specials as well. How is it?
It's not bad. It's like a brownie type.
Oh yeah,
taste.
Yeah, it must be that biological ingredient.
Bioengineered.
Is it rude we're eating on air? Well, we've now tried a fudge round. That's probably good for me. Did you bring me some milk?
No.
Next hour, we won't talk fudge rounds. We'll talk real food with Zach Hauser from Hauser & Hauser Farms. He's out of Camp Verde. We got like 7 acres there, a lot of corn and other things they grow. So we'll get
seven
into
7 acres or 700?
700.
You said seven.
Did I say seven?
Mm-hmm.
Is that biological ingredients going to my brain?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live off them or anything.
No.
There's no way little Debbie looks like that after eating those for years. Like Big Debbie. Anyway, Zach Hauser will be with us. We did not get to an item, and I think I'll get Angela back tomorrow, and we'll try to share that on tomorrow's show, which is the age limit introduced in Congress.
Oh, yeah. Anything about it, but I like it already.
Yeah. There's a bill introduced by Representative John James, the guy with two first names. John James.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what his middle name is.
It's not his fault.
I know. Out of Michigan, he's doing a good thing here. He wants to limit the age of people in like Congress and I guess the president mm-hmm. as well. They can't be 75 anytime during their term.
Mm.
Sounds good. And yeah, we got some real problems going on right
now.
I'm
all in favor of that.
Cognitive abilities. So
after the last 10 years or so.
Never going to make it. It's never going to make it. But we'll talk about that. And don't forget, Zach Hauser coming up here, hour two of the show. Stick around. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a minute. You know, it is a beautiful time of year to take just a nice 30-minute drive from Flagstaff West onto I-40 to Williams. And why don't you pop in and say hi to former Mayor John Moore at Miss Kitty Steakhouse in downtown Williams on Route 66. Miss Kitty Steakhouse features a huge variety of steaks. I absolutely love their steaks there. Every time I go out to Williams, I stop by Miss Kitty Steakhouse. I've also got a great selection, great menu of poultry and fish. And they're open from Monday. Oh, they're open every day of the week from Monday through Sunday from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, don't forget to check out Miss Kitty's Steakhouse breakfast menu. First class breakfast between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. all throughout the week as well. For more information, you can go to MissKittySteakhouse.com. That's MissKittySteakhouse.com on those busy Friday and Saturday nights when everybody's going out to see Old Town Williams right there on Route 66. Why don't you call for a reservation at 928-433-5889. That's Miss Kitty's Steakhouse in Williams on Route 66. This portion of the show is brought to you by Diamond Auto Glass.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome another hour of the show here. Been looking forward to this interview for a while, and we teased it a little bit here the other day on the program. Zach Hauser with Hauser & Hauser Farms. Based in Camp Verde, came up to Flagstaff today.
Yes,
I could
sir.
Have met you down there. I mean,
no, I had things to do in Flagstaff. Down anyway,
there,
so worked out
all
good.
The time. Yeah, we met like almost practically in my backyard. Wasn't you were on the other side there because you got the irrigation ditch there.
Yep, right on Crew Creek.
So yeah. So right on West Clear Creek there. But yeah, we're going to talk all about farming here, and you've been in this. Give us the background, I guess, because your family's been doing farming for, this is multi-generational.
Yeah, so it goes back as far as I know. So it'd be, let's see, my great grandfather, who I never met, but lived in Iowa.
Okay.
So we're originally from Iowa.
That's the land of corn.
Yeah. And so he developed some sort of respiratory condition where he had to move to a drier climate. And so he moved to Scottsdale. Then they started farming, doing custom farming in the Scottsdale area. He said, you know, my grandpa tells me stories about how he remembers when Scottsdale Road was a dirt road, you know, stuff like that. And then, so it'd been in the like mid-60s. My grandpa came up to the Camp Verde area and, he drove a truck for an oil company, like for oil and roads. And then he bought, there's a lumber yard in Camp Verde. So he bought that, started that, and then just started leasing small plots of land in Camp Verde, and then we put it all together.
Yeah.
And then my dad was born in 1960, so then as soon as he, you know, kind of got of age, he started helping, and then just kind of grew it from there.
So you're fourth? So you're
fourth at least.
At least. Yeah, probably further.
Yeah.
And it's unusual nowadays, quite honestly, for any family, especially in a family business, you know, someone who has a family business myself, you know, we've been in real estate for a long time. So my dad's in it. I'm in it. Maybe my kids will follow suit, but you're talking third generation at that point. You're in it maybe fourth generation at that point in a field farming that's back in what, the early 1900s, late 1800s, everybody was a farmer.
Yeah.
I mean, you needed to. And before that, it was, you know, something like founding of our country is 98% of the people were farming because you had to produce your own stuff. Now, I've heard stats that it's like 2% of Americans.
Yeah.
That's probably high.
Yeah. I've heard 1-2%.
Yeah. And, but to have any business follow along for multi-generation is unusual in because usually kids lose interest. And in your field, you're talking about land and things like that. So, there's the temptation. You see it all the time. And I see it in Camp Verde. I see it in Verde Valley. You see it, especially in Phoenix. You got this land that has tremendous worth, value, subdivided.
Yep.
Subdivided. I mean, is that a big pressure? Talking to, you know, your family, but your colleagues and stuff, is that a huge pressure all the time?
Oh, yeah. So, development is, at least in Arizona specifically, I'd say, is the number one threat to agriculture in Arizona. So what we did is we were fortunate enough to be able to afford these properties that we have now in Camp Verde. We put conservation easements on them.
Okay.
So I can get into more of that if you want me to. But
yeah,
essentially, you give up the development rights to the land, which is what we wanted. So we, you know, we planned ahead as if you've got to think that, okay, like, yeah, we want to farm it. And, but, you know, who knows, in 100 years, three generations down the line, they might not want to. They're just going to cash out. And, you know, then it's going to be developed. So to protect that, we put it in conservation easements. And, yeah, essentially we have, you know, certain rules we have to follow, but it's aligned with what we already were doing anyway and what we want. So, yeah, the main thing is the development. So it cannot, it's one big, you know, parcel of land, and it cannot be chopped up at all.
And it's
like, you know, it's through the NRCS. So it's like a Congress, you know, stamps its approval on it. So it actually take an act of Congress
That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, because I see a lot of places down there that do sell, especially the old like pecan. Are they called orchards or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh man, look at that. And I don't want to be the one because we're sitting in a place that's in the middle of Flagstaff that used to be Ponderosa Forest. And I have, as you know, a place down in Camp Verde and that place 10 years ago didn't have anything on it. And we've, put a home on it. We've also gotten nothing to your scale. I'm an amateur hobby farmer, you know, and that's why I really have you here, because I want you to become my consultant on how to grow more corn next year. But development happens, but we also need farming. We need ranching. Recently, we dealt with the issue here in Northern Arizona, the expansion of the Grand Canyon National Monument. I'm going to get some ranchers on that because it's 1 million acres, and they're concerned that, hey, where are we going to graze these cattle?
Yep.
Although the government promises, oh, you're fine. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. But we need to eat. I think we've gotten so far away from, in this society, in our country, how food comes about, how it's produced. Oh, my son Owen and I were dove hunting this weekend. That means he's got to process the bird and take care of it. And at first it's like, oof, you know, wow. Mm-hmm. It's a brutal thing, especially when you're talking animals and things like that. It takes some getting used to. But people think, hey, I got these survival seed kits if the zombie apocalypse happens or whatever, right? And I'm just going to be able to grow some corn, some tomatoes. And I can tell you just from my little amateur stake at this, it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. And I think most people would actually probably, if something drastic did happen and food production was cut off, if we lost our farmers, there'd be a massive die-off.
Oh, yeah.
In a heartbeat.
100%.
Yeah. So I guess, what are you dealing with as far as getting the word out to people that, hey, first of all, I need the equipment to run this. We need water to run this. Water is a big issue in Arizona. We need the land, because they might see you taking water and using water and be like, hey, we've got a water problem in Arizona. And Zach, you're growing corn.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So water's obviously a huge issue for us. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of view it as, you know, you got to protect the farm first, which what we did with conservation easements, then you just choose your battles down the line. Then, you know, so we've taken care of that. They cannot be developed. So now water. Okay. So all of our water comes from the Verde River, except for the exception of the one by your house, which comes off West Clear Creek.
Yeah.
So we have, these ditches were dug in the mid to late 1800s. So I'm on, let's see, one.
That's,
I think,
been around a while. Wow. Yeah.
So I think I'm on like 5 ditches in the Camp Verde area. Mm-hmm. So these ditches were dug in, you know, like I said, the mid to late 1800s. So they are grandfathered in. So they're pre-statehood.
Yeah.
And they're also, the important date is they're pre-1919, which is the date that SRP essentially claimed all the water in the state. So...
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that, but there are a lot of conflicts, no pun intended, buried just a little bit under the surface with SRP, and there's all these wells. I have a well, in especially the Verde Valley, because my well where I'm at is not very far down. Water table's so good there. But there is this claim that, hey, we have all... How did they get that? How did that come about?
Yeah, I don't know, because I tell everyone I was born like 150 years too late, because I feel like I should have been around in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
My wife was here. Yeah. I just had this conversation with her saying that I say it often. I said, man, the mid 1800s probably would have been.
Yeah,
I'm a little out of place.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
We're rounding errors in a. What was that? I don't know if you heard that Oliver Anthony song. You know, that guy came out, went viral, and it's like,
old soul
in a new world. Yeah. But hopefully there's enough of us.
Yeah, so the whole SRP thing, our water has not been adjudicated yet. So it's going to be, and it's going to be soon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, SRP claimed all the water in 1919, and I don't know all the specifics of that. Yeah. But so the Verde River is a tributary into, you know, Bartlett and Horseshoe Lakes, which they use, and it goes to the Phoenix metro area.
It's the Salt River eventually, right?
Yeah.
It all flows
in there. Yeah, it flows into there. Yeah. And then they, you know, they have it in their reservoirs and they do whatever with it.
And the pressure is tremendous on the water now. I mean, Maricopa County is 5.5 million. Arizona is maybe 7.5. So we're sitting at Coconino County right now with whopping 160,000 people, maybe, in a county, the second largest geographical size county in the nation. Yavapai County is big. I mean, there may be, in landmass, but it's maybe 180,000 people, 200 something. I can't remember.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Something like that.
Somewhere in there.
So we have a problem in this state of getting noticed and getting attention. I know a lot of the folks down at the legislature and, you know, but they have their voters to answer to in a 5.5 million person environment. So in rural Arizona, it's like, okay, yeah, you want your water and it flows from here down to the Verde Valley, but the pressure is intense because of the development down there and the manufacturing and all of that. I don't know. It's a hard, you're in court. So that issue's in court.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's currently not like active right now, but it's being prepared.
Okay.
And so, you know, we feel confident in all of the properties that we own that our water rights are solid and secure. So, but what they're going to go after is, like you were saying, on your wells. Mm-hmm. So those wells obviously were not there in 1919. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a subflow zone chart where they're doing a study, and they're going to, you know, have these two imaginary lines outside of the edge of the river. And if your well is within that line, you know, it, the determination is that you are pumping subflow water, and subflow is considered surface water in this instance. So that, I don't know how that's going to be reconciled, you are going to be involved because if you have a well, and you know, anyone who has a well, probably within a quarter mile of the river, or maybe even further away, depends on on where you're at.
Of the Verde, you're talking about.
Well, the Verde and Clear Creek. You know, if your water level's at, you know, 15 feet, you know, you're not going to have an argument that you're not pumping subflow water. Mm. You know, it's just not going to happen. So, yeah.
Okay. I have a deep well. I don't have a well at all. I take that back.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is something, I mean, there's so many people that are listening in the Verde Valley, especially. And so many people have wells.
Yeah.
But there's not only that, it's also in certain areas, there are private water companies too that are providing water for whole neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So, that are
pumping subflow water.
So this could be a court issue, but I wonder if legislature steps in, or if the courts supersede, you know, when you talk about whole communities that may be impacted for, quenching the thirst of Phoenix, quite honestly.
Yeah.
In Maricopa.
And I mean, who knows how it's going to turn out? Yeah. And then, you know, just as a disclosure, I'm certainly not an attorney, and do not take any advice from me. You know, so people listening,
but don't take any advice from me either. Yeah.
But, you know,
it's in the process.
It's in the process. Yeah. And, you know, from, you know, the people I know, they're thinking it's in the next 4 years, it would be done.
Interesting.
But it's, you know, I don't think they're going to dry people up or just say, hey, you've had a house here since the 1950s and you had a well,
but you're done.
I don't think they can do that.
Well, if SRP if they wanted to become the big bad wolf, I mean, talk about people getting, we dealt with this issue recently in that, I think it was a neighborhood, outside of Scottsdale or somewhere down there where the city cut off the stand pumps, you know, you drive up, you fill up the water truck, and there's this neighborhood out there that was pretty nice houses, $500,000, $800,000 houses, right?
Yeah.
And they were all doing haul water. And the city was providing, I can't remember which one it was, Scottsdale or Tempe, one of them, doesn't matter. And the city cut them off, and they got tremendous, the legislature came in and enforced the issue because they'd been getting water from that source for decades and decades.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they came in and said, oh, we got a water problem now, we're cutting you off. Yeah. This is going to get, do you think that this, is this one of Arizona's biggest issues, and are we prepared as a state when it comes to just the water, looking forward and looking how we're in the top five as far as growing states where people are fleeing other states and coming to?
Yeah. I think it's huge. I already think there's too many people in Arizona personally. And,
build a wall in California.
Yeah. So I mean, even just in our little town of Camp Verde, it's just, you know, just since I was a teenager, you know, I'm 35 now, mm-hmm. and so I'm not that old.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's just too much growth. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm outspoken about it too. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, opposed to growth necessarily, but just sustainable growth. And then certainly no growth on farmland. You know, I, if I could be dictator of the world, that, you know, there would be no more houses built on farm ground.
On farmland. Yeah, yeah. But then you got the private property issues.
And certainly. Like, hey, and as of now, it's your right. Yeah. You know, it's not, I'm not saying they're doing anything illegal or anything, but I just think that for food security, not just as a community, but as a nation, you know, that one of the most important things you can have.
Where are we? I mean, we saw this issue of supply chain challenges and catastrophe, quite frankly, from the massive outsourcing that happened, let's say from the late 90s till basically last week. I mean, when COVID hit, we woke up as a country and said, maybe getting our medication from China or wherever it's coming from is not a good idea. They couldn't even get the stupid material for the mask that I hated.
Yeah.
You know, they were struggling to get components for that stuff, mm-hmm. which maybe wasn't a bad thing, but they were, I think we're waking up. We're reaching this turning point in America though, where people are realizing that, wait a second, maybe outsourcing all this stuff, outsourcing food production is energy production is one of the dumbest things I think, but food production, it's like, if you can't get it, I mean, how far does, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but food travels pretty dang far in this country. Most people, you have the place, Hauser Farms in Camp Verde, where people are literally going to a stand. And you're closed for the season now, right?
Yeah. We're closed, yeah.
Yeah. But most people, that food is traveling hundreds, if not thousands of miles.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
So a real challenge there. All right. I want to get into a little more on the water stuff with you. Talk a little bit more about family farms versus kind of the large conglomerates when we come back. And if you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And hit subscribe if you're listening to the podcast. Please do that. All right. Thank you to Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. Really appreciate her longtime sponsorship on the program. I've used Kim. I told you about, it was about a year ago or so. We did a refinance on a multifamily property, and she did a great job for me. She does that. If you're new home buyer, help you out there. Alternative housing or off-grid type properties, they've got financing for that. Here's the thing with Nova Home Loans. Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender out there. They also can act like a broker, though, so they can find the best program for you and make sure you get the best deal. I know interest rates have risen up a lot. It's a real challenge, but buying a home is, to me, still the American dream, and getting to do that is something that I think is really going to help you down the road. Kim Dawson can help you out with that. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you call her, and you get $250 off at close. And that's every dime, every little bit helps out nowadays. Here's Kim Dawson's number, 928-310-6458, 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. All right, talking with Zach Hauser here with Hauser and Hauser Farms in Camp Verde area. On the water, you mentioned that the ditches and things like that, you're talking late 1800s. I know I read something that there's stuff happening with, I guess, modernizing some of this. I know that the town of Camp Verde had some meeting, and they were talking about it. We got this. I saw this grand plan, and anytime you see grand, it looked quite large. But when you're talking about stuff from the 1800s, is there a plan to kind of change things? And, I mean, how far is the technology advanced when you get into irrigating and things like that?
Yeah, so we've modernized all the ditches that we're on already to a certain extent. Yeah. So we had the Nature Conservancy, approached us, and they've been a fantastic partner for us. Mm-hmm. So they came to us, and then, well, they came to my dad originally. And obviously he was very leery of why would these, hippies want to come talk to me, right? Cause that's just what you think.
Yeah.
And, but he just had a conversation with them, and then, their goals, we're just specifically talking the Verde Valley, Camp Verde area.
Yeah.
Really aligned with our goals.
Found common ground.
Yeah. 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 And, so they just wanted to help us be as efficient as possible on these ditches. They had no interest in taking any water from us, taking away rights, nothing like that. They knew that these are old dirt ditches. Some of the infrastructure we had was literally, 130 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
So, what we did originally on one ditch is what we have is we have a dirt dam essentially in the river. Mm-hmm. It's as basic as you can think.
The spring flood and it's.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a dam. Then shortly after that, we have a head gate. So we control our flow there. Mm-hmm. So the old head gate we had, had went through several floods and it's bent and it doesn't work. So it was just chained open, wide open. So we didn't regulate our flow there. We let it run down about 4 miles a ditch. Then we had another structure that was far enough away from the river where it never flooded. Then we would dump any water that we didn't need back into the river. So what that did, though, is there's multiple ditches. So, we're one of the first ones in Camp Verde there. That one's called the Eureka Ditch. Well, right below that is the Verde Ditch. So when we were carrying all that water for 4 miles before dumping it back into the river, we were essentially bypassing the Verde Ditch
dam.
It's dry. So not dry, but
low.
But less water than...
Yeah, and I think I've hit that spot, if memory serves me right, kayaking.
Yeah.
If you hit it at the wrong time of year, you're like, you're walking.
Yeah. It is what it is.
So you kind of scrunched up that gap by redoing the...
So
the control.
Yep. So we have, and it's an automated head gate. So we have, I can control it from my cell phone. So we have.
Could you imagine talking to your great grandfather and saying, "Hey, I'm going to control this from this device here. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it works well. Yeah. So, you know, and it works well, especially because on that specific ditch, we are also the ditch boss of the ditch. So,
okay.
And our farm is at the very end. So we know, like, you know, I obviously know my irrigation schedule. So we use the most water. We're by far the largest property on that ditch. So I know that, hey, I'm going to be watering pretty heavy the next few days. I'm going to put a little bit more water in the ditch, or, you know, vice versa. If I'm not going to be using hardly any, I'll close it down to where, you know, I'm obviously going to take what I need, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm not going to take, you know, more than I need
and lower.
Yeah. Cause then I'm going to short. And then, you know, we also have two farms on the Verde ditch too. So we don't want to short, you know, people downstream. So with that automatic gate, we have a flow meter. So it tells me, you know, how many CFS is in the ditch. And then I just, you know, with my phone, control it, raise it, lower it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The technology is amazing nowadays. Yeah. And how have you seen since, and I got to say, I mean, we were talking earlier about how multi-generational farming is becoming harder and harder, I guess, but young farmers are also becoming, and you said you were 35.
Yeah.
You're bringing the average age way down. I'd heard that it was like the average age of farmers 60 something.
Yeah, I heard like 58 or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, is this becoming more common? Is it becoming a profession that is becoming a little easier to get into or profit? I know saying easy is probably the wrong word because you're like, hey, there's a lot of challenges, but are there more young people getting into it, I guess?
No, there's less.
There's less.
Yeah, significantly less. So part of that is, you know, And I've seen it all over, but, you know, especially in like the Phoenix area, like, you know, I have family in the Phoenix Tolleson area into Buckeye and, you know, you got these old farmers, they farmed for forever. And then, they get pressure from the city and the old man just stuck it out. But then, you know, as soon as he dies, the kids are just like, man, it ain't worth it anymore.
Yeah. And I can sell the land out.
Yeah. And they can, you know, cash out. Yeah. And, you know, and for some people, I understand that decision because the city creeps in around you, and then you got people complaining about the noises you make, the smell, just it's completely unreasonable. But
when we come back, where are we going to get our food from? Where are we going to? What does this look like 20, 30, 40 years? I mean, I'm sure you've thought about that. And do you have kids?
Yeah, I have four kids.
Okay, so I want to talk about that, but it's like because you're thinking about probably your their future and stuff, and absolutely, what does it look like going forward? Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in and subscribe to the video if you're on Rumble. Hit follow. I guess follow is the correct word. Follow us on Rumble. Follow me on YouTube. Appreciate everyone doing that. You're probably going to get a rock chip in your windshield here. You're probably driving around with one of those right now. Winter is going to be here before you know it. We'll be dealing with the cinders on the road again. Look, have this on, in the old terms, the Rolodex. Put it in your phone. Save Diamond Auto Glass's number. Always call them first because they're going to be able to fix that rock chip and prevent it from spreading to the rest of your windshield, causing you a costly replacement. If you need new glass, a new windshield, hey, they'll be able to do that as well. Call Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. 4140 or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Also, a great thank you here to, this is also auto related and other things, and that's my good friend over at Allstate Insurance Agency. Allstate Agency, Eric Boatner and Lisa Boatner do an excellent job, really ingrained in the community as well. Been in Northern Arizona for a long time, at their kids here as well. If you need to get, this is what Angela and I did. We went to them and we got transferred our policies over. I took a couple of years because I really vet the companies that we use here. They're doing a great job. They saved us a bunch of money on our auto and on our home. Hey, if you got a motorcycle, RV, off-road vehicles, boats, business owners policy, life insurance, Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency, call them up right now. That's Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency, 928-774-8722. 928-774-8722. 928-774-8722.
Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, here is Zach Hauser, Hauser and Hauser Farms, and we're talking about the age of farmers and how less and less people are getting into this. You got to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some basics here, housing. You got to have fuel for your vehicle or whatever, however we're getting around nowadays, and you got to have food. You mentioned that as cities encroach on farmland, people are like, oh, I got dust, I got smells. You know, think about if there was a cattle or something,
yeah,
and it used to be 20 miles out, and now all of a sudden it's, yep, like, and you've driven by those, and you're, yeah, like, wow. But people complain. I mean, you say you got four kids.
Yep.
They helping you already? I'm sure they're already.
Well, my oldest is 9, but yeah, he does help, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it amazing how quickly they
learn? Oh, yeah.
I finally broke down. One of these days, I got to come to your yard there. You'd laugh at my little tractor, but I finally broke down and bought a tractor last year. And my kid, they're already learning how to use that. And I think it's life skills that aren't being taught nowadays.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when I see my kid, he's 9 years old. I look back and he's doing what I was doing when I was 9, but I was driving vehicles on the road when I was 9, you know, and it's crazy to look at him and be like, he's only 9 years old. I can't believe when I was 9, I was doing these things, especially on a farming operation, in a family operation, even a 9 year old is very helpful to the operation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd be surprised because it's so hard to find help these days. And, you know, we struggle with it too. You get a guy, you train him, and by the time he kind of gets things going, gets things figured out, he moves on. And, that's why I had four kids, probably for the most part.
But, you know what? We were talking earlier about, like, the founding of the country is like 98% were farmers. Everybody had, maybe they weren't selling excess, maybe they were, but they were at least providing a good amount, for their table, for their family, right?
Yeah.
And maybe 2% were, and it's flipped. It's totally flipped at this point. And mm-hmm. it's getting less, according to what you're saying, is there's less and less people farming. So do you see your kids getting into this? Is it going to be?
Yeah. I feel like, especially my oldest. So my oldest is, is a boy. Then I have two girls and my youngest is a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they go from 9, 7, 4, and 2. So my oldest, when I look at him, he's just like me.
Yeah.
And so he's going to do it.
Yeah. You got a good workforce.
Yeah. So
we've got land down there in Camp Verde, and it requires, we did do a small, by your standards, by my standards, it was quite large. We got a couple thousand ears of corn that, mm-hmm. Unfortunately I lost quite a few to deer.
Yep.
I assume that's a problem you deal with. I even fenced some of it, and next year I'm going to enlarge it even more. But I think people don't realize how hard it is to actually do this, how hard it is. I mean, we busted our tails to get and we've been growing, we've been doing, tomatoes, cucumbers, we've been doing stuff for years and years, and we just keep kind of expanding. Next year I'm going to add another small field.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not easy, and I think people take that for granted all the time, what it takes to actually get that from field to table, to the store to the table.
Yeah.
And I hope people understand and start changing that. And I actually encourage people, and let me get your take on this, start a backyard. They used to call them victory gardens back in World War II because we needed everything we could get. I encourage everybody to do that. Even if it's like you got a townhome and you're doing some plants in the pots or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody should grow something. I don't know if it's going to happen, but
I agree 100%. So even, we farm just in Camp Verde about 700 acres.
Okay.
My wife at my house has, a garden that's like, 20 by 30.
So you still go home to the garden. Yeah.
Yeah. And she loves it. And, so she, grew tomatoes. She has a little peach tree. She, my son grew onions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can do it on a very small scale. And yeah. I encourage everyone to do it.
It's good to supplement. I've never had luck with the onions. They always get to a certain size, and I don't know. I just can't get them.
Yeah,
to.
No, I have no, and I did not help my son at all. And he grew; they were humongous. They were, you know, like some were bigger than softballs.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty good. Yeah. Maybe next year I'll trade you some cucumbers. Or
no
something.
Problem.
Yeah,
yeah, we love the barter system.
What about? And we're talking with Zach Hauser with Hauser and Hauser Farms in the Camp Verde area. On the regulatory side, have you had to? What do you have to deal with? Because on the federal side, we hear about these really crazy rules like the waterways of America where, you know, some water flows off your property and goes into Verde River, for example, or a tributary or whatever. They've got strict rules and regulations. Is it a nightmare? Is it getting worse or is it getting – have you experienced it?
Yeah, so it can be, especially if you're growing produce. Okay. So that, you know, if it's something that's direct human consumption, that's kind of a different. So with our sweet corn thing, like, I mean, that's what people most know us for, but actually it's a tiny sliver of what we actually do, total. So, you know, the regulations are, you know, they're not getting less strict.
Yeah.
You know, that's for sure. Yeah. So, and you know, even us conventional farming, you know, we do corn, alfalfa, wheat, barley. Then we obviously do the sweet corn, watermelons, pecan trees. Mm-hmm. We have to have, you know, applicator license to buy all of our, you know, chemicals. We fill out every single time I spray. It's called a 1080 form. I have to fill that out. I have to, what field I sprayed, what the active ingredient was, is it restricted use?
You're a commercial farmer.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm not sure what exactly.
Yeah, what's the size limit? I mean,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wonder if people start expanding their backyard gardens, do they start saying, oh, you sprayed this? I don't think we're there yet, but you can see how this stuff can ratchet up over time.
Yeah, it would. I should know that, but I don't know exactly how big you have to be but we do.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, as soon as you start, you know, especially for restricted use chemicals, you know, you have to obviously, you know, you have to be on top of your documentation and, you know, how it's applied, mm-hmm. making sure you're wearing proper PPE, you know, all that stuff.
So the gloves and the,
oh yeah. Yeah. And, I think there's a huge misconception with that. You know, you see, you'll see a meme of, you know, this guy wearing this full body suit spraying a corn plant. And that does not happen. That is, okay. I mean, that's total propaganda. Now,
the biohazard suit.
Yeah, and
I've seen that, like with strawberry fields, and they'll say, "Oh, this is just so." Look, there's, because we were talking about the other day. Mark Hout was with us, and we were talking about organic versus. Is it called traditional?
Yeah, conventional.
Okay, yeah. Get my lingo right here. But I did the corn. It's not certified. My corn wasn't certified organic or anything, but we didn't use anything. Yep. And I was dealing with the worms.
Yep.
What are they called? Milo worms or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, you have corn ear worms, corn borer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when the corn, the silk started turning brown, right? Yep. I was like, okay, I think it's ready.
Yep.
And I'd open up a worm in each one of those.
Yep.
And it ate off about a top inch or two.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was like, okay, I can live with that. And what I'm going to do is we're going to cut the tip off. It's perfect. And you know what? I could eat it without even cooking it.
Yep.
For that period there. It was awesome. And then we have freezers full of corn now, right?
Yeah.
But most consumers, if they saw that worm, oh, they're freaked out.
Yep.
They ain't even going to touch it after you cut the thing. I actually gave away corn because we had quite a bit and, you know, how much can we eat?
Yeah.
I dehusked them and cut them for people because I didn't want them to waste it and say, like, ooh, this is gross.
Yep.
But I think that's the trade off though. And you use the chemicals, you use the pesticides and this and that. Yep. Without that, and we could probably get into a whole discussion about just the tractors that, your tractors all run on electric. You have the battery powered big tractors.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. They have it. It's just a huge solar panel.
Yeah. It has a solar panel on top and it actually runs.
Yeah. And it actually runs on, you know, hopes and direct, dreams.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
No, but people, they, they look, they honestly think, I don't call this person up, but I had a friend of mine recently say, well, I like these cars. I can't wait until just a year or two we have solar cars. Like, it's literally charging as you go down the street. It's like, mm-hmm. well, what if you, you know, drive through a forest? You might have a problem. You can't run this stuff. Here's my point. You can't run this stuff without diesel.
No.
I mean, no. Is there a tractor? Have you gotten the person knocking on your door saying, I've got the battery tractor for you?
No.
Okay. Because they want to regulate this stuff quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not just talking about your little Prius that's driving around, which is fine. If that's how you're commuting, you're living in a city, that's great. Does this worry you as far as the regulation and the way they're taking this country as far as what you may have to be dealing with in a short period of time?
Yeah, well, I'm scared of all regulation. I just, you know,
you're on the same page.
Yeah, I think we'd agree. I'm a small government, you know, low regulation kind of guy.
Yep.
And, it scares me.
You are living in the wrong century, but go ahead.
But, you know, just in diesel engines, you know, they've ruined diesel engines already with the DPF systems. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but,
Explain it. I am a little bit, but explain it.
Yeah, so it's a diesel particulate filter. So it, you know, it's essentially like an exhaust system, like a catalytic converter type thing for people that don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But it on new trucks, new tractors, probably at least, I would say, I mean, we've owned so many trucks and tractors, I would say 80% or more of the issues that we have with newer equipment is because of the DPF systems.
Okay.
And then you can't work on them yourself, you know, then you can't take them off. You know, they don't run without it. And then you can, you know, you try to get some, you know, pirate guy to, you know, delete it. And then, you know, if you get caught, then you're in trouble from the EPA.
Yeah.
And so you can't do that. And, and then it added, you know.
That's cost.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
And all that technology. I mean, they got the chips in there. I look back, you were saying that you were 9 years old driving a tractor. I'm sure that tractor was significantly different. It's probably carbureted. And your dad or your grandpa or whoever knew how to work on it could take it apart. Those days are, I'm in the market for just on the pickup truck side. You know, I'm like, give me back to the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Just to have that. And I'll just give me two of them so I can retrofit it and keep it going. Chainsaws. I go out and cut wood as much as possible. I've been telling people buy your chainsaws now. It's probably already too late, but I've got some old chainsaws. But they're changing the technology in there.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine, generators, they're changing the technology in the generators where they're like, it might last you a couple of years. You can't fix stuff anymore.
Yeah, no. And we had, we used to farm in the Big Chino area here in Arizona, and it was all wells. And we had, 4 and 6 cylinder Cummins engines, you know, just 4 BTs and 6 BTs. We call them. We had some engines had over 30,000 hours, you know, just run forever. And, now we have newer stuff. You can't even run them 1,000 hours without something happening with an EGR valve, you know, stick in or something. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I'm glad I got the 10-year warranty on my little tractor.
Yeah.
Hopefully I make it that far.
Yeah.
I think it's the real small ones. I don't think they have that system on it.
Yeah.
Yet.
It's a certain horsepower.
But they will.
Oh, yeah, it's heading that
your
way.
Your riding mower is going to have that before you know it.
100%.
Coming up. All right, Zach. Hey, amazing stuff. Keep it up, and I appreciate how you're sharing this with everyone out there, but also how you're a multi-generational business, farm, and how you're doing that with your kids.
Yep.
This is what I've been encouraging people for a long time is teach your kids these practical skills. It sounds like even next season, if you're down there in Camp Verde, it's like you could probably get a gig for part-time selling and helping. I see you have a lot of people when you're out there with those stands.
Yeah, yeah. So for the sweet corn stand, we're only open about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we hire typically just like high school age kids, you know, and
might be their first job.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say this year, my mom posted on her social media, Hauser & Hauser Farms, but, this group of kids we had this year was awesome. And it actually gave me hope for the future because we had, what was there, 6 or 8 of them. And they, you know, like I said, gave me hope for the future because, you know, I just feel like these kids growing up are just getting just more and more, they're just connected. They're just out there.
Yeah.
And, but you know, we have a good group of kids in Camp Verde, and I was proud of them.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. All right. Get involved with all that, folks. And yeah, start that little backyard garden.
Do it.
I'll try to bring Zach on again if he can give us some more tips maybe down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beginning of the planting season next year, you may get a text from me is, am I doing this? How do I do this better?
No problem.
And, website.
Social media. So just Hausenhauser Farms on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, my mom does the social media for us.
Yeah, good stuff. Zach, appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Talk to you soon. Take care. All right, if you're thinking about selling your home, do what so many people have done in Flagstaff. Do what I would do if I was selling a home right now. A lot of people are turning to Kelly Broaddus because she's got the experience to get your home sold for top dollar. She was on the show recently talking about how you got to stage your home, how you got to have the right photographers come in, aerial drones. I know it sounds all like science fiction and all that, but Kelly Broaddus and her team, they know what they're doing, and they get homes sold quick, and usually you can get over asking price. I mean, the market's crazy. There's still shortages out there. So right now, if you're thinking about listing your homes, great time. Call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by EXP. I know she's going to do a really good job for you. I've been doing real estate for a very long time. She's someone I turn to when I need professional advice, when I want to get information out there for you on the show as well. Call Kelly at 888-446-5602, 888-446-5602, or just Google her. Look up Kelly Broaddus, Broaddus, and get in touch with her right now. I'm confident she's going to do a really good job for you. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Okay, that's it for today. Tomorrow's show is going to be really busy, my weekly roundup. Angela's going to return because I want to hit on this bill that was introduced in Congress to put an age limit on people serving, a 75-year age limit. We'll get into those details. Plus, I've got someone from Save Our Grid. We're going to talk about the fragility of our electric grid and steps that can be taken to harden it up. So join me tomorrow for that. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Have a great night. See you tomorrow. Hi, this is Jeff Horvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity.